The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Welcome to another episode of the Arty Raw Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm very excited for my guest to be on with me today, Erica Squire. She is the founder and CEO of Natural Movers, and we're going to talk all about them and her background, and I have so many questions, and I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you for coming on, Erica.
Thanks. Before we get into what Natural Movers is all about and how that got started, I want to know how you got started and a little bit of your background. So you were born and raised in Palm Beach County.
Yes.
But you have traveled the world, right? Through education, through arts. Yeah. I kind of want to know something that through your early years here, maybe still moves the way that you work
today. I like the way you use move in your hands too. Yeah. So I would say the understanding of community. That was rooted in me at a young age. And I don't think I didn't realize it as a child. But when I reflect on that, I can think of the specific spaces where I felt community around me. So whether it be at the church I grew up in, Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, it's still there. You know, I still see the pastor that was pastoring at the time. I still have some of the friends that were there when I grew up. But we had to do oratorical competitions and speaking. We were able to engage in our talents, which at that time for me was the piano and the clarinet. And we were able to step and sing. I developed an ear for singing by being in that space. So having so many adults who were loving but nurturing was very important. And I didn't realize the importance of that until now. And then at that time, we had a place called Intercity Youth, known as ICY, where they try to create a space where you're studying all of the academics, but then you also have dance and you have art and you have stepping. And so Miss Joyce Smith and Miss Elaine Hubbard Williams, they created a beautiful space for us. And so that space allowed us to be able to, again, have community. And so I find that I am trying to create and look for community wherever I go from that beginning space.
Yeah. I mean, it's massively important. Like you said, maybe you don't realize it when you're a child as much. You're just not aware because it's around you. You're surrounded by it.
Right.
And you have the benefits of it. But as you reflect how much these multi-generational spaces too, you know, where you have exposure to things like these different formats of arts,
right?
What that does for you. Right. And clearly it sets you on a really fascinating trajectory. We have already had a little bit of a conversation off camera, which I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things that we can get into here. But you've described yourself as a global citizen. Can you share a moment from your travels that kind of still is a part of the way that you function, whether that's through Natural Movers or just your personal life?
I'll probably say when I went to Ghana. And I could think of a couple of instances. If I can point out three, I'll try to point them out quickly. So one was I met the grandson of a chief. And at one particular time, we were going into his village, and I say that and I make it sound like they are still living in the bush, but they were not. When I say village, it's like an organized space where different homes or apartments were. So we went to his home space, and I walked past, and there was a guy that was sitting there, but I didn't see the guy. So I'm walking. He said, "Erica, you didn't see the guy that was sitting there." And I was like, "No, there was no guy sitting there." He was like, "No, there's a guy sitting there." And I was like, "No." He's like, "Erica, there was a guy sitting there." And I was like, "Okay, let me go and look, because this is, you know, a little persistent." So I go outside and I look, and there is a guy sitting there. And I look at him. He just says, "Hi." That's it. And what stood out to me was that in our culture, right, we are so fixated on just whatever our trajectory is. If I'm shopping, if I'm grocery shopping, if I'm moving to my car, I might be looking both ways, but I'm focused on what I'm doing. That we are missing what's happening around us. We're missing the connections, the people that might just need the high or just the eye contact. And that just showed me to see more around me, to see those folks around me and those people and those things around me more.
Such a brief moment that expands your vision.
It completely changed things. And of course, I was doing a study abroad program. So of course we were engaging in studies about the difference between Western and non-Western cultures. And that was a big thing, was that the rhythms of life are honored more in non-Western mm-hmm. spaces. And I had an opportunity to witness that, where I was meeting this really amazing dance scholar. And I had to have waited. I mean, it felt like a long time. So, I mean, and I'm talking like maybe like 5 hours or so for this man to come. And in my mind, I was so frustrated and so disappointed that he took so long to come. And when he came, he didn't apologize. And it just went against everything that I understood. Okay. Until he told me what happened. He said, "Hey, I saw someone along the way that I haven't seen in a while, and I had to stop and I had to have a chat." And I said, "Wow, like it wasn't even intentional. You just had to honor the fact that there was someone that you hadn't seen who was important to you in life. Mm-hmm. And you had to take that pause to check on them."
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just made me realize that, yes, there are times when we need to be somewhere at a certain time. But what about taking those moments to just literally say, "Hey, you know what? I am a little late, but it's because," and for us to actually be like, "Okay, that's okay." Like, why is it no longer okay?
And what a better human experience that is, right? Because if we could all have that freedom and flexibility, like you said, not every time you can do that, but if we had a different understanding of the way we're allowed to move, then it would feel a lot more probably relaxed.
I would think not as so. Anxious,
like, and that, you know? The thought pattern of like, it's not that he intentionally was, wasting your time or anything. I can see all the things that your head would go to in a Western culture of like, it's not respectful or it's, all of these things. Mm-hmm. Right. But it was just a matter of like, no, life presented this opportunity and, why not honor that opportunity?
Why not honor that? Exactly.
And still show up and honor the opportunity with you,
Right. Yeah. And the last thing I'll probably say is that I was able to see rhythm everywhere. Mm. It was very wild to me to hear someone from the continent of Africa to say, "I don't have rhythm. I don't feel like I'm a good dancer." And it was mind blowing because I would have never assumed that. Mm. Right. But I had to challenge that after being there to say that, no, rhythm is everywhere. I saw it in the way that the clothing was hanging on the line and blowing. Mm. I saw it in the way that there's this substance called fufu that you usually eat it with like a stew or like with soup. And literally seeing how it was being created, where they have this bowl, right? And so she's turning this sticky substance while this guy has this huge, large stick, like almost like a big tree trunk. And he's dropping it down, right, with all his might. And she's having to turn it succinctly, and then he's dropping it. And if she doesn't turn it on the right rhythm, he's literally going to crush her hand. But they're not making eye contact. They're like talking to folks, they're looking around, but they're that much in tune. So even if you say you can't dance, you have rhythm. Mm. And so it helped me to look at movement differently. And I felt like in my creative process, I was able to find that because of having those experiences.
I love that. When you start to see the art in everything.
Right.
And there's always a part of me where a lot of people not in the arts world have an immediate pushback where, "Oh, I'm not an artist.
Right.
I can't do that. I can't, I can't draw a stick figure." The saying that every visual artist hears a million times in their life. But similarly, I have no rhythm. I can't dance.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
But there's an innate creativity, I believe, in every human.
Right.
And maybe that looks different or it shows up in different ways that we're just not quite attuned to.
Yes.
Probably because they're not ones that people tend to monetize.
Right.
And I think we value that a lot more than just recognizing the art of, let's say, living.
Right.
But that's wonderful to see the rhythm and everything, to see the art and everything.
Exactly.
Again, how much that expands your vision.
Yeah.
That you can bring back here to, all the programs that you do.
Exactly. And
that's
even
awesome.
The name. name. That's Natural Movers.
Well, listen, I got to say, Natural Movers is an easily the best name for you immediately when you walked in. And I said, hey, you know, every guest makes their mark on this canvas. You are the first person to move all across the canvas. Okay. So everybody funny. Else has found their little area, but you started right away and you're making these immediate motion strokes. These are yours here. Yeah, yeah, and then you jump down here in the corner and then you're going across the board here. And I love it. Your just natural inclination is to be moving. That's so funny.
Yeah. Trying to find my space. I feel like dancers were like, we're sitting on the floor. We're sitting in a chair. We're like, we're moving all around. Right.
I like it. So it's a good perspective to have. Okay, so I had another question. I was, you know, doing some reading.
Okay.
And the word, and I might say this wrong, so please correct me. The word Ubuntu.
Oh, correct.
Close? Okay, good. Means I am because of who we are.
Yeah.
It seems like a really powerful part of your ethos. Can you tell us a little bit more how that's come into your life and how it shows through Natural Movers?
Yeah, it honors the fact that nothing that I'm doing is because of myself alone. Like me even sitting here is a village. It's my parents with all the children, you know, my mom with the baby for the first time, you know, like, so it's my husband. It's the dancers when I'm creating a work. It's the students in the classroom. Everything is happening because it's in collaboration with someone. And so it just really takes the selfishness. It doesn't allow it to have space. You know, the ego doesn't allow it to have space because you are in collaboration. You're in partnership with other folks to create what's happening.
Yeah.
So it just keeps that at the forefront.
Back to the community, right? That it's, and how much more powerful you get to be because of that, I think.
Right.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Right.
I love it. Well, we got to talk about Natural Movers. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So you founded this in 2016. Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when did you first realize that you were creating more than a dance organization? Now we've kind of talked about this off camera a little bit, that there wasn't necessarily a straight path.
Right.
So you can give us a little history of Natural Movers if you want to.
Yeah. So 2016 started. So I was working in a space and I saw these beautiful brown dancers of any shade you can think of. And they wanted to study dance, you know, not sure what they wanted to do because they were just in third or fourth grade, but they wanted to study. But I saw that they were behind in the sense of where I knew they needed to be at a certain age. And it really wasn't because they wanted to be or because they couldn't, but because they just weren't receiving the kind of training and consistent training that they needed for that to happen. That plus, I find that in particularly African-American communities, I think that we will put our boys and even girls in sports. And if they say you're practicing, like my son's doing football for the first time, if you're practicing 5 days a week, 4 days a week, you're there. You know, we'll pay the money, we'll do it. But it's a little, I guess, less expensive because you're paying one chunk for the whole season, right? Versus when you're talking about dance or any other art, the arts, you're paying monthly. And sometimes it feels like, well, do you really want to do this? You can kind of dance at home or you can kind of paint and draw at home. And usually we don't say yes until the child keeps deciding and keeps saying and keeps saying it. And by that time, some of their peers have already passed them. So you're saying like fifth grade, sixth grade. Okay. You know, I think you really like to do this, but that child has been studying, their friend has been studying since first grade or since kindergarten. And so your appetite is different. And your ability is different. So what I was finding is that when I was getting students in third, fourth, fifth grade, when they were just starting to study, I say ballet, their mind, they have so much rhythm. They can understand movement. So choreographically they can catch on, but ballet is also an anatomical change. And because they were not taking the time to be able to allow their bone structure to shift, their hips to rotate, they weren't, because it's too slow for them in their mind, they would often quit or they would become like uninterested. And so I wanted to show parents, hey, you know what? There is something here if you just allow them to train like they should. So I decided, because a friend of mine was like, well, if you have an issue, just do something about it. And I was like, okay. You know, I was like, all right, let's do this, you know? And so, so I said, you know what, for 2 weeks, these students are just going to study ballet only. We're going to do it for like 6 to 8 hours a day. 2 weeks, let's see what happens. I had like a month to put this information out to the community. I had like 30 dancers come. Wow. We went to Palm Beach Atlantic University because I was on faculty there, and they just studied dance, and that was it. And the amount of change that I witnessed and that their parents witnessed was without words. Mm. It was phenomenal. And so I hope for a lot of them, I think that was the nugget that their parent needed, because I see them still dancing now, that same student that started wow. then. Yeah. And so I created Natural Movers thinking about this, mm-hmm. but then I had to take a hiatus because life shifted and I started working in other spaces. And so when that happened, I also realized, you know, I can't fund this in the way I want to, because I'm not sure if I want to create a dance studio. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's my trajectory. So I just kind of put a stop to it. And then in 2022, not with the intention of Natural Movers, I was actually going after a grant for me to create work in terms of choreography okay. on my own dance company, Erica Squire, the dance company. And that's what I wanted to do. And at the time I was calling it Natural Movers Dance Project, you know? So, that was my goal. And then my daughter wanted to do art classes. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to send you to a space, because I'm that mom that I want to see and know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So I said, well, I can create a program. I can do that. So I called Grandview, and Joe over there was awesome. He allowed me to create this space that was open to the community. Anybody can come. My good friend Hajina is an art teacher. And so she said, let's do it. So we did it. Grandview thankfully paid her, and we just had these free classes. And my daughter was able to do art. And a friend of mine said, well, how are you going to like get people to come? Like, what are you going to call it? And I said, well, I guess I'll just roll it under Natural Movers. Like, sure, why not? We'll just say right. arts education, something. And we did, and it took root. It took root. And then here we go. I have this grant. I need to create work. What do we put it under? And I was like, I guess now. It really was like, I guess this, I guess yeah. that. And literally, because the programming was right for the community mm-hmm. and the community was also ripe for the programming, mm-hmm. it took root.
Just this organic way, you know, not forced, but right. flowing.
It took root, and it made sense for us to become a nonprofit at that time. And all because our vision was changing, mm-hmm. Our mission changed, and it allowed for us to have the capacity to bring in more movers and artists and just kind of really shift our focus.
So. It's really, it is incredible to see these small shifts.
Right.
But how impactful they are
right.
over the timeline. You know, you don't necessarily know it when you're starting an art class for your right. daughter. And you're right. like, yeah, here's a venue. Here's what we can do. We'll just make it happen.
Right. Right.
And how much legs that has over right. the long run.
Right.
I love it. And I love to hear it. And I'm glad that you're here to share it, because I think it's an important message for artists and any kind of creative mm-hmm. to hear over the long journey that, you know, making these little decisions, if they feel right.
Right.
And if you're following something that's like, this is an easy yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see that it doesn't exist. I want it to exist.
Right.
I have a way to do it. I'm going to start and do it. And there's not a perfectionism, it sounds like, that's like, right. oh, I have to get all my little ducks in a row, and I have right. to make sure my marketing for this is ready, and what's it going to be branded, and how's right. it going to, you know what I
right.
mean?
Right, right.
It's just like, we can make this happen. The community's here for it. They're, right. They want it.
Right.
Let's go for it.
Right.
And I think that's so important, because those little moments of like, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
And you can build along the way.
Right.
Are the things that get those big roots eventually, yes. you know, that mm-hmm. they can take their time to grow, because they just start.
It just started.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's kind of the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago or today. It's like, don't
right,
wait,
right,
just
right.
start something.
Just plant the seed and kind of see how it happens. And then, yeah. and I feel like sometimes when you look around too, you'll find that there are others that are also very much so interested in what you're doing, and you are already cultivating them the whole time without even realizing mm-hmm. it. And so like, that's how the board formed, from those folks that were already a part of that space. Hannah Arnst was already there. And so her doing marketing and kind of becoming the creative director, it made sense. So yeah. everything just was moving. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The path is great to hear.
Yeah. Thanks.
Let's see here. So there's a lot of events that you've done, really cool things, interesting spaces. I would love to hear about maybe a particularly memorable moment from whether it's, you know, one of the signature events like Open Spaces or Moved, or if there's any other moments that really jump out at you.
Yeah, I would say probably at Moved and Dance All Day Fest. I mean, I think they all have some really good moments. But in thinking about those two, I think Moved is particularly interesting and also an important program, because even though it's situated in February to celebrate Black History Month, it's an event that doesn't even have to be in February. It could stand in any month because it's meant to bring all folks together. And I find that when naturally, if I'm saying that I'm celebrating, you know, Chinese New Year or something, sometimes we might not feel inclined to go because we may not feel that we identify with that particular culture. It might take an event happening at that particular event to make us want to go, right? But you might have some reservation. And I wanted folks to see that Black history is wrapped in all of American culture. And so if we were able to look at it in that way, then we would all be celebrating all year round. It wouldn't take just a singular month. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Moved was allowing that to happen. I mean, honestly, I had less Black folks at Moved than I wanted. And I think a lot of that was also to me recognizing that most of us, and I say us, meaning Black folks, will go to events that usually are in our community more, more readily, for different reasons. And so it's finding a way to get them to come out of the community, right, to come into spaces that they weren't naturally coming to. And that's not everyone, because I'm one that will go into different spaces. But I found that in talking with other programmers and other community leaders, that is something that we're seeing, that, you know, we have to come to the community sometimes for events, but then how do we get the community to come out? And that's not just in the African-American community. You could say that in the Latino Hispanic community. You can say that in the Guatemalan community, right? How do we get them to come into other spaces? What creates a safe enough space for them to want to come or encourages them to come? So Moved is one of those things that allowed us to see a lot of different generations of folks, as well as it was very multicultural. But what makes it really special is that we're bringing in artists that you might not be able to sit across the table from and just have a candid conversation. So we just brought in last fiscal year, Buddha Stretch. He is the icon in hip hop culture, especially for a freestyle dance. One of the pioneers, one of the very few that are still alive. And he came down and was able to not only give a talk, but give a class. Wow. And the cost that it was to even attend, hands down, you know, something that you would want to attend, right? Yeah. And so to be able to come into a space where you have all of these pinnacle folks is just life-changing. And I think, too, for the dancer that came, they're able to engage in diverse forms of dance. So you have teachers that work with Ailey. You have Buddha Stretch that came. You have Panika Jones, former Prima Ballerina for Dance Theater of Harlem. So you have all these people in one space. And so you're not just training in ballet, but you're training at the highest level. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the celebration or the color of skin. It's about the training that you're getting, right? Sure. Or the experience that you're getting. So I think Move becomes really special because of that. And then there's a concert that happens at the tail end that allows folks to be able to engage and witness performance at its highest regard with seeing all of these different spaces and people on the space on the stage.
Yeah.
And then Dance All Day Fest, I think, well, it becomes like the family reunion like you wish you had.
I love it.
You know, and it's just sheer joy.
Yeah.
And I think what's even more awesome about Dance All Day Fest is that some folks don't even know that it's happening. Mm. They didn't come to City Place to attend Dance All Day Fest.
Oh, they're walking into it.
They're walking into
it. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then they're staying.
Sure.
Because they're like, oh my gosh, yes, I want to do this class. And I see people that are in their 70s, from their grandparents that are in their 80s to the 2-year-old, and everyone is just moving.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's great to be able to not only see the dance that's happening in your community by having these performances take place in front of you, but then also to be able to engage in a class that's really quick. It's short. It gets you in and out, but it allows you to still feel alive. And so I think those two are really
I mean, it's memorable. Amazing to have these kind of things in these open public spaces, right? Where people who, like you said, are literally just walking into it, don't know what's going on, wouldn't probably ever go out of their way to go to a studio mm-hmm. to take a dance, mm-hmm. even if it was the same exact content.
Right.
If it didn't just happen to land in front of where they're going, mm-hmm. They might never access it. They might never unlock this little moment of joy. And again, who knows how long that's going to ripple into their life you know, maybe decide, oh yeah, I do want to take that dance class at the rec center, or I do want to, you know, my daughter really loved this and maybe this is something we can encourage and spark further in her. So having these events in these spaces mm-hmm. is such a cool way to expand.
Yeah.
Awareness, interest, activation, and just welcome people into this kind of performance community that is often sectioned out and not as accessible as other forms of art, I think,
It's
just not as available.
And I think it also makes it easy because I can bring the whole family and literally everybody can partake.
Yeah.
I can eat in the space and it's okay. I don't have to pay to come to the space. And we even have children activations during that time. So if you're like, you know what, I have a 2, 4, 6, 10-year-old and I want them to take a class that's really just for them, mm-hmm. we create those little spaces inside of indoor spaces, you know, just because you have different moms, you have different parents. And so you want to, we're trying to create a space where everyone, if you want to come, there is a space for you. And so, so having it in an outdoor space was integral.
Yeah.
It had to be that way.
And I know that poses its own forms of challenge in South Florida too sometimes, you know?
I know. But City Place has been gracious. They've given us a tent.
That's okay. Good.
Because it has been blistering.
Yeah.
Literally on the feet too, because of the turf.
Sure.
And so them dancing, you know, coming off and I'm like, oh my gosh, your feet are red. So we've had a great partner, you know, and again, that goes back to Ubuntu, like, the partners we've had between the Norton for Open Spaces and City Place and the Kravis Center have just been, I mean, really a breath of fresh air and so important. And we give thanks for them all the time.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about, there's events coming up that I want to get into.
Yeah, for sure.
But there was something that I saw, and I think this was in maybe an old interview.
Okay.
There was a video, I think it was through PBS that I was watching, where you had dancers in Mounts Botanical Garden, which I love that garden.
Yes.
And this was when, I'm going to forget the artist's name, but he's phenomenal. He did the willow structures was like a temporary structure that was woven there on site. And you had dancers.
That the community built on site. Yeah.
You had dancers moving through that. And then part of something you mentioned was a term, and I don't know if you coined this or if it exists, a term called body speak.
Okay.
And I just loved that. And what you were talking about seemed so different than a traditional teacher-student role and how you kind of, I guess you would say, collaborate with your dancers versus tell them this is what you're doing.
Right.
So can you explain that to me, what that means a little bit?
So to set that up, let me say, so I kind of wear these different hats, right? So outside of really my first priority, you know, in the home as wife and mom, outside of the home, I have these two hats where there's this administrative CEO. So Natural Movers is falling under that, where I'm curating and producing events. And there's other hat that allows me to engage in just choreography. Mm-hmm. And teaching. And so the choreography hub happens with my own dance company called the Erica Squire Dance Company, or Erica Squire, the dance company. And so at that time, it was called Natural Movers Dance Project. Okay. But once we became a nonprofit, I had to separate the two to not make it as confusing. So in that space, I really was given this choreographic process, I feel like. Like, I felt like God really just downloaded this process onto me that allows me to allow myself to see the mover and with their, how they're moving before I create. And so it's a series of steps that a lot of, some of it's writing, some of it's through prompts that I give them, different tasks. Now it's really built off of scripture, biblical scripture. And so we are literally going through all these different modes for me to really see how they're moving. Because if I give them movement and their body is not ready to receive it because they don't have the quality that I need for them to deliver it, it's going to be forced. And I don't want that on stage. So I have to see how they're moving. And then from what they're giving me, then I then shape and create the piece. So so it's really me investigating their body, their stories. And it really just depends on the project that we're working on for how I'm doing this investigation.
That is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I like to hear that. And it's just, again, it has this organic feel to it that there's a very conscious, intentional, you know, effort to work with the creatives that you're working with rather than, you know, like you said, it's not forced. Mm-hmm. It's something that you're truly collaborating on to fit the skills that you have to work with.
Yeah. And I will say that I've been very blessed to work with some highly intellectual, bodily intellectual dancers. It's really important because of what I request and require them to do. Now, I like a good line, you know, I love, you know, I love strong ballet bodies, but it can't be just that. And I love ballet. And so it's not that, but it's just that the way in which I want to work with their body, I need to be able to have them do things that might mean a flex foot, that might mean they have to pull in some other experiences outside of what they've just been taught in the studio.
In the studio and in, you know, through the programs, the intensive that you do, how even through the programs that are open to the public, how are you, you know, you have this great sense of community. How are you opening that up to everyone and, you know, creating such a welcoming space?
I think it goes back to making sure everything is rooted out of love. I think for me, biblically speaking, love is the one of the greatest commands. And so I try to usher that in through everything. And I think that my board also understands that as well. And so if you're creating something out of love, then you're going to be intentional. You're going to make sure it is relevant to the community in which you are building it for. You're going to be thoughtful in your marketing. And so all those approaches, I think, create the space for folks to come and to feel something. And that something that I usually get is, wow, I felt alive. I felt joy. This felt peaceful. This was, if, you know, if everything ended today, like I feel like I literally just had the most amazing experience of my life. And I look forward to this every year, you know, so we've had those repeated, experiences and comments, you know, from folks. And so I think it's because of the rooting.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Those kind of comments.
Yeah.
And it says so much about how much more we need to be doing this, how much more movement and joyful movement and creative movement should be a part of everyone's life and not exclusive to the creatives or to the professionals,
but
absolutely open the doors to saying, you can, you know, move your body creatively, whether you have the background, the knowledge, the know-how, like there's instincts there, there's natural rhythm there that, you know, people sometimes need permission the space to know that this is okay. You can do this. Like,
and I think it also creates a space for any body and any person.
Yeah.
No matter, you know, and it takes that off where you don't feel like if I don't do this, or if I don't look like this, or if I don't feel this way, or if I don't fit this mold, then I can't go. And it kind of, it pulls that down.
Yeah.
And even when you feel apprehensive, if it is pulled down, I think by the end of it, you realize that it never existed.
Yeah.
And so I just give thanks for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Dance performances.
Yes.
In a museum, in a downtown space in City Place, classes at the Kravis Center. What's the kind of magic that happens when you bring movement into wider array of spaces like you're doing?
We're able to reach more people.
Yeah.
And so I think our partners are intentional because they have a reach that are beyond us. And I think just realizing that, like when we started, you know, what is and who is Natural Movers, even still, you know, and so I think that it's important to have partners who have a demographic and a network that you may not have. And knowing that all folks want to have fun. You know, we just do.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't realize how much fun we really do need. Mm. Sometimes we don't realize that we didn't laugh and how we really should be laughing every day. You know, we didn't smile. And it's like, wow, my cheekbones are saggy. Like, no, what you really need to do is just laugh a little bit. You know, like I tell myself that, like, stop yelling at those children. Like, just laugh a little bit, you know, when they make a mistake. So no, I'm not a mean mom. But the point is that we have to, when you realize that, you realize that when you have a programming that's right, anybody will come to it. You just need to be able to get it to them for them to see it, mm-hmm. and make it convenient enough for them to not really have an excuse to not come. And I think that's what, you know, having partnerships in those spaces create.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to something that we talked about again beforehand.
Yeah.
Which is just that, you know, a lot has changed in the mm-hmm. last year, 2 years, yeah. as far as funding for arts programs yes. goes in Florida.
Yes. Yeah.
There were huge budget cuts mm-hmm. that left absolute, like, yeah. shattering impacts, like, yes. honestly, that mm-hmm. just changed the whole landscape of how nonprofits are right. going to function, where they're going to get their funding.
Right.
So I know, you know, having donors that are a part of the community right. is going to be more important.
Right.
Which, to have that happen, you need more and more mm-hmm. awareness that, mm-hmm. you know, these programs exist, that there people are interested, people are coming.
Right.
You know, I know it's another, probably just another pivot that you guys are making constantly,
right,
but,
right,
right. That's, I'm sure that's been an impactful change that's happened for you guys in the last year, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Our funding from the state, was the grounding for our programming. Mm-hmm. So last fiscal year, it was a very strong pivot that we had to do. And even seeing it this year as well, because of the funding. So for us, it's saying, you know, okay, so we have to be able to engage, local, smaller and even family or private mm-hmm. Funders and allow them to be able to see the work that we're doing. And really just, I think because of being young, that may also have some impact. But then too, you know, our programming with the right funding really allows us to continue our work on combating this really big epidemic that was before COVID, but definitely seen now of this social isolation and loneliness that people are dealing with. I mean, you're seeing it from children to adults.
Absolutely.
And the increase of social media is not helping. And so, and the impact that you're seeing on the eyes of folks and on their ability to be able to function and cognitive development, it's, I mean, I cannot talk to you about the science on it enough. Mm-hmm. And it's almost one of those things that you don't want it to hit as strongly as you know it's going to hit if we don't make some significant changes. And the programming is only a small nugget of the things that can be done and that more people can do in the community. But it is something that is being done that is helping. And so with more funding, more programming can happen that can create spaces for people to come outdoors mm-hmm. and connect and to find the importance of that connectivity. And so that is why the comments were as strong as they were, mm-hmm. as I said before, mm-hmm. because they're having those experiences. And yes, we can only fund these signature events, you know, during the year. But what if there was more funding to be able to create this space like weekly or monthly for mm-hmm. folks, you know? And so that is the kind of work that we're seeking to be able to do.
Yeah. I love it. It's definitely very, like, it's hugely important work. I mean, I'm going to bring something up and I'm not comparing them in either way, but it was an experience that definitely meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And it was attending a silent disco. Okay.
Yes,
it was on the beach. It was in a public space. It wasn't in a private area. It mm-hmm. was outside. I went with, I think the first time I went a bunch of times since then, mm-hmm. but it was with a friend and then I went again with my cousin, but it was such a mm-hmm. unique experience to someone mm-hmm. who, you know, I took dance when I was 5, maybe. Okay. And I really was only in it for the outfit.
Got it. I understand that.
I loved it, but yes, you know, that wasn't my art form. That was me figure skating.
Yeah.
but this, you know, this was a total jump from what I was used to and being able to move, being able to interact. You know, there were prompts and things to encourage people to do different movements, get out, you know, break out of their shell, engage with other people who you didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was such a wonderful, deeply changing experience to just recognize, oh, this is something that should be such a regular part of life. You know, a version of church, if you will, of like, this is this is just so integral to who we are as people that there's not enough of this. So I, you know, when I found out about Natural Movers and I was reading more about you guys, I was like, oh, thank God this exists somewhere. Oh, I'm so happy to hear it, you know, that. And I do hope that more and more, you know, becomes available and that these programs are received and expand because it's definitely something that people need. And obviously when they experience it, they realize that.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay, more questions, but we're going to take just a little brief break.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to hear a word from our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. So stay tuned for a message from them.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
Okay.
All right.
So, man, in a world where everything moves so fast, how are you encouraging people to slow down and listen to what their body is trying to tell them?
Oh, well, I would say in the creative process, I'll speak about Erica Squire, the dance company, and in our work, it's built into the process. And I think that I, as a person, bring that energy. So I think the creatives that come in this space are already, it's requested of them to do that. And I think, you know, I remember when I was going for my MFA, they said to us, okay, I'm giving you, let's say, 6 hours. Go off, do everything your mind thinks of. Just do it, do all of it. And then once you're empty, then start. And it was the best idea.
Wow.
I did everything. I sent every email. I texted every person. I made calls, you know, but it really is important for you to kind of do this dump, because sometimes you're not engaging because your mind is still running. It's still running. It's still running. And so in the process, it's creating a space for them to allow their mind to kind of slow down and kind of be present where they are. And sometimes it's not easy to turn that off because you just had an emotional experience before you walked into the studio. And then now I have to pretend that I'm here.
Right.
You know, and sometimes what I found is that it's exhausting your senses, so that you are in a place of just, I need to rest. And then now let's create. So those are different ways that we try to come together as one. When I get a chance to teach Mufundala, which is an African dance technique by Dr. Kiramu Welsh, and it's a beautiful space that is created called the Nanigo, which allows us to all kind of get in a circle. And the one thing that is said about the Nanigo is that we are the community now. So wherever you went, wherever you've been, whatever you experienced before you came to class or you came into this space, we're here now. So now we get to create a new space and a new experience. And I think it kind of settles the mind of the person to become present. Plus that in the drums also does that as well. So yeah, those are some ways.
I love that. That's great. Man, I want to remember that phrase so that I can remind myself to be present. I don't want to pretend like I'm being somewhere.
Yeah.
Which I think there's a lot of times where you're maybe because you're literally rushing through life.
Yeah.
And I also happen to be a little bit of an introvert on that side of the scale where I'm like, okay, this is not where I really, you know, I don't have the energy for to put forth here. So I'm just going to get through it.
Yeah.
in the best way that I can, which is often just like, you know, putting on the face, putting on the smile, whatever. But that's going to stick. I'm not going to pretend like I'm like I'm somewhere. I want to be there.
Yeah. It changes the experience.
Definitely. You know? Okay. So I want to talk about some inspirations and some influences that you've had. You know, are there dancers, artists, cultural leaders, whether that's past or present, that have been a big part of, you know, what you've leaned into as an artist?
I will say about three or four probably stand out. So I'll just start from being younger to older. So Mr. and Mrs. Brown were the band director and his wife at the time at Suncoast High School. And when I met them, I appreciated the leadership that Mr. Brown had and that Mrs. Brown had. I was on the dance team, and the trust that they gave me to be able to lead the dance team, or even just being a freshman and just the way in which they would speak to us, but they would also hold us accountable for our actions and not allow us to have a pass. The way that they instilled excellence, and that proving that you are excellent is something that you would have to do every single time. And he had a phrase that he would say, but overarchingly what the phrase meant was that you have to show up and show that every time you are called upon to do it. You cannot say, oh, I was excellent yesterday, so still see me as excellent today. You have to do that all the time. Like, you can't give yourself a pass, and no one else is going to give you, because you don't know who you're meeting. But then people are also literally taking in everything that you do. So if you're choosing to be trustworthy, then you have to show you're trustworthy all the time. Because as soon as you're not, guess what sticks longer? The fact that you weren't. And now you're forever trying to climb out the hole. Right. So so I that was instilled in me from them, and I appreciated that. I even had, I would say, at Temple University, meeting Dr. Carol Muelsch was life-changing. This was a woman, it's a little embarrassing to say, but this is a woman that when I was an undergrad, I remember doing this research paper, and I was quoting her left and right all the time. I mean, I loved everything she was saying. It was great. It was beautiful. And so I had it everywhere in the paper. I go to Temple years later to go to this audition. Don't even realize I'm sitting in front of the woman who I quoted. Had no idea. Interviewing with her, we hit it off. She was a chair. She looked at me and said, you know, I see you as the part two of me, like continue on the legacy. And she wasn't really talking about it having to be like her company or Mfundula, but just, I see something in you. And that was amazing for me. And two, to have someone that looked like me to say that to me was really important. And so that I was like, wow, you know, so I had that experience, and it took months later of going to Temple that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the woman. So then I started looking her up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman is like 3-4 time Fulbright scholar. Like, this is like like, she's huge. Like, her and her husband at the time, so we had African American studies in the state of Florida, and they wrote the curriculum. They started the first African American PhD program for the US.
Wow.
And it's at Temple. Like, so this is like amazing. This woman's big deal, you know?
Yeah.
First national touring company in Zimbabwe she created, you know? So big deal woman, okay? And had no idea who I was. So in my head, I was like, I don't even know who I'm sitting in the presence of. But that also spoke to how humble she was. And it taught me what humility really is. That means that you could be sitting in, literally, with someone who is known as being a king or a queen, sitting with them, and you just feel like you're just talking to like your sibling. Because just because they're a king or queen doesn't mean they have to show you that. They know who they are.
Right.
But their job is to serve and to be loving, period. And that taught me a different understanding of what humility is. Sometimes we think humility means weakness, but it's knowing, it's actually knowing who you are more.
Sure.
And so I was like, okay, all right. You know, so she, I went to Ghana because of her, you know, because of wanting to study about myself more. And so that was like my first step in trying to understand that more. Being a part of the Mafunzula family, like that helped me to understand more of myself. And then also her as a creative and how she used gesture, like Body Speak also uses gesture a lot. And it was understanding how she used gesture in her choreography. I studied that. I spoke with her about it. I interviewed her about that. And then just did life with her in terms of being able to have questions of mentorship. And so I was able to see her endless pool of energy where everyone can say they felt like she was their favorite.
Yeah. Wow.
How is that possible? You know, like, how is it possible for her to be that loving and make everybody think that they're her favorite?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure someone hearing this is going to say, Erica, now you know I'm the favorite. You know, but yeah, so it taught me a difference, you know, and then I'll rewind a little bit. Before her, I met this woman named Stephanie McGriff when I was coming out of college. After Macy's, being an assistant buyer, I became a manager at The Gap, doing visual merchandising. And she was the store manager. And just the amount of trust and the way that she allowed us to do our role. And even if we made a mistake, her ability to still not change was important. You know, because often we allow disappointment or how we feel about how a person let you down or didn't meet a goal, change the way you speak to them, change your expectation of them, but it didn't change. And I'm like, and she didn't have a child to be able to say, okay, now you have that nurturing side because you're raising someone. At that time, she didn't have that. So that was big. And she trusted my voice and my ability and gave me a lot to have to do at being, I mean, I think I was just 21 or 22, you know? Those were really important steps. And I guess when I look at the through line, it was the trust that people gave me to be able to do what I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to drop that. And if I did, it's the way they handled it.
Yeah.
That made me say, okay, I want to do better. And so as a leader, I wanted to show up in that way for those that I'm leading, those that are dancing with me, those that are in my company, and those that I do life with. So I think that those things were very pinnacle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It sounds like it, mm-hmm. especially the through line of trust is a mm-hmm. huge one where, as you know, a creative person, a business person, mm-hmm. A wife, a mother, you know, any, yeah. a friend, anything. Mm-hmm. Where you really can, even if you can't quite put your finger on it, mm-hmm. you really can feel that difference mm-hmm. when somebody trusts you and gives you, like you said, the space to maybe not always mm-hmm. do it right.
Right.
But still give you space and opportunity mm-hmm. to be able to correct yourself, learn, mm-hmm. do better next time.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And holding you accountable. I remember one time I wanted to do this writing program when I was at Temple and I had told Mama about it. That's what I affectionately call her, Mama. And she mm-hmm. said, you know, Erica, this is great, but pretty much saying like, I don't think you're ready for this. And I was in tears sobbing on the phone, like that she thought that I wasn't ready. Mm. And it could have been my writing at the time. It could have been anything, right? I just didn't understand. I mean, I heard what she said and she was just, she was nervous about how hard I was taking it. Mm. But I realized we hadn't been together long enough for her to understand that for me, I'm having this emotion, but I understand what you're saying. And I'm not broken down by it. Like, I'm not going to stay here. I just need to express this right now.
Move through
it. But I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
You know? And so I had to explain to her, I was like, I'm not going to be down. This is just me having my lament, I guess, for the fact that like, this is just reality.
Yeah.
Like, okay, not yet. And that also was good for me because it was like, okay, Erica, ambition is great, but it can be blinding. So you need to just like remember that and take a second. So
good to have those people in your life. Good to have those people that will say, hey, maybe
not now.
Maybe not
take
yet.
Take a rest. Slow down.
Okay. Well, yeah, obviously you're clearly a literal mover and figuratively. What keeps your creative energies flowing as you're creating space for a lot of other people?
I think doing life, like being a mom, taking pauses, you know, taking the advice of my husband, even though sometimes I don't want to. I love you, honey, even though I know you're listening to this. you know, but allowing myself to do that, even though I might fight it. Honestly, getting into the word more and being more like biblically grounded. All those things, I think, create space for when it's the right time, it flows. And, you know, when I'm fighting hard for something that I should let go of, knowing that means that you should let go even more. And it's okay. Like, it's going to be there. Like, that white dress that you saw yesterday is going to be there next year. Somebody's going to make it because that's how fashion works. You know, Erica, let go of those baby clothes because you could have bought that romper like 7 years ago and you're still there today. You could have let go of it. My mom is like, clean out this closet. We could literally have a store of baby clothes. You know, so it's those things.
Yeah.
It's and so in doing those things, it allows me to be recharged, you know. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that, you know, I have to also allow myself to do that because I as a leader and a creative, sometimes I fight with the stopping. I don't want to stop. When momentum is building, I want to keep going. I want to keep building momentum, momentum. And I have to realize that some of that is pride. Some of that is selfish ambition. And none of those things are okay.
Yeah. And probably culture as well is wrapped up in it, right? Mm-hmm. Our culture is very much so. Keep going, hustle, grind. You know, if you're not doing it now and tomorrow and every hour, you're behind.
You're going to lose this. This is not going to happen. The opportunity is going to go. Someone's going to take it. You didn't do it first. You know, all those essentially lies that really keep us burnt out and having to run to everything that is unnatural.
Right.
To sustain. Yeah.
All these little extra support systems we find ourselves trying to grasp at.
Right.
Because not sustainable practices.
It's not sustainable, you know? So I think every day is trying to just realize, okay, what is culturally rooted that is not healthy, that's not going to give me longevity? And removing those little things, like little by little, you know, I think allow me to create more space to feel creative and just feel myself, because the creativity is within, but some things just block it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question that I ask every guest who comes on here.
All right.
Which is just that if there is one, could be a piece of art, could be a location, a museum, a natural space, could be an event that happens, something that you would tell anybody living in Palm Beach County or visiting Palm Beach County that you need to experience this when you come here.
Oh, wow. That is so hard. And I feel so like, oh, this is big. You have to experience. So I had an entity in my mind, but I think instead of saying the entity, I'm going to say to go to the beach. And I say to go to the beach because I think that above all, I think that allowing yourself to just be present in space and just rest will allow you to know what you should do next in the space that you're in. Because there's lots of spaces in Palm Beach that I would recommend. But to be able to even engage in those spaces, you need to have created the space for yourself to even engage in them or to find them or to want to be in them. And I think we have some beautiful beaches. And I think being in those spaces, being in the outdoors will create that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's a good answer. It's actually surprisingly one we haven't got yet.
Really?
Which, yeah, you would think being in Palm Beach County,
right,
that might be a prominent answer. But, and it might seem like an obvious one, but I do think it's an important one.
Yeah.
And in the sense that you're talking about spending time outdoors, for me personally, that's my biggest refresh.
Oh, that's
good. That's the reset button for sure. Yeah. Or the time that allows me to build space, get quiet, and just listen.
Yeah.
And then I can move forward in better ways, whether that's if I'm going to go do an activity, I can be more present. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to go back into work, I can be more present there.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, really, even though we live here and I've lived here my entire life, sometimes the time that I go to the beach the most is when somebody's coming to visit.
Right.
And the fact that I'm not making more time recently, a friend who lives nearby has pushed me like, let's, you know, we can make our own schedules a little bit more. Let's go to the beach. And we've been doing that. And it is changing when you have that time, especially in the water. Especially like if you're in a natural body of water, there's just something that.
Yeah. I agree. And it's so funny. My husband loves the beach. And so my children, they go to the beach often. Yeah. And so because I was like, get in the water. But I feel like I'm always holding a baby. And I'm like, I can't because I'm holding the baby, you know? So I'm like, I can go to the pool. But he's like, the pool is not natural. And I'm like, I know, but I don't know. So it's funny because I grew up not liking the beach because of the sand. But then as I got older, I started to love the beach for different reasons. And I didn't mind the sand. And I'm always like, why do I not want to get in the water and swim? And I wonder if it's because it's the salt in the water. I wonder if I experienced like fresh water, like not no salt at all. I would swim, like I would swim in a pool. Like I'll go on a beach water. I may jump around. I may walk in it, but I will not swim. Mm-hmm. And my husband's like doing strokes. He's out there. I'm just like, can't see you. Just make it back, you know? And my children, like, they're like practicing swimming. They're like, and I'm just like, I don't know what it is. But either way, yet and still, I still see the beach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you ever spend any time at the springs, the Florida springs?
You know what? No.
Get up into a spring.
On my list. Thank you.
Get up into a spring.
Okay.
It's very different.
Okay.
And now, I mean, you know, summertime, they're quite refreshing because they're always right around 69 degrees.
That's my place.
But
that's it.
There have been moments, this was a while ago, but it sticks in the memory, you know. I had a delivery all the way up in Tallahassee. And it was just that. Like, I was just going to deliver a big painting that I wasn't going to ship. And I really didn't have a lot else planned for that drive. But on the way, I was trying to get there at a certain time. Get there, I had to fix another piece that they had. And then on drive back, I was kind of like, oh, there's a sign for the spring. I'm going to just pull over real quick. I didn't have a bathing suit or anything.
Okay, really impromptu.
I jumped in my clothes and it was just, I mean, they're magical. They're
really?
Magical.
Okay.
And it's a different feel than South Florida.
Okay.
You know, it's,
Okay. Done.
Getting that fresh water and it'll be a different feeling.
I'm going to send you a note and say, I did it.
Yes.
And let me tell you.
I could recommend you a couple of springs too.
Okay, let's
there's
do
some
that.
Good ones to go to. All right. Yeah, there's one of those hidden gems in Florida for sure that not a lot of people think of.
Okay.
Let's see. I want to talk about some future vision.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Natural Movers has a great website
because
I was all over it. And I'm like, this is really nice.
Oh,
this is
you.
Like, you know, all the information's here. Just even the layout and the way you've got it set up is beautiful. So whoever did that, whether it's you or part of the team.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's very nice
that.
Setup. You have had front row seat to a lot of emerging talent.
Yeah.
So what's something that you're seeing from these young dancers or artists right now that's continuing to give you hopeful feelings, I would say.
The bodily intellect on some of these young dancers is out of this world. I mean, just their maturity and their ability to be able to see quality and to pick it up without having like lived experiences give mm-hmm. you that. Just over time, as you're just dealing with life, your body just moves naturally differently, even, or maybe even childbearing, all those different things. So to see that happening without that, it's like, wow, when you do have experiences on top of that, mm-hmm. wow. That, and then the skill set on some of these dancers. I mean, the things that they can do, the things that my daughters do, I could never do at that age. And even choreographically, like my daughters created some choreography that I was like, honey, the choreography that I was a backup dancer in the choreography that I was making at your age. Like I was just going from side to side. That was it. That was it. I was doing a little bit of that. That was it. You know, waxing on, waxing off. You are like, I mean, she has a full blown production. And I actually would stage some of it. Like, it's actually, like, I mean, it's sound. And she's 9. So, you know, I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I will say that, you know, even with, I think we have a strong increase of, like, competitive studios. And even with that, which is sometimes different in the way in which you may think about concert dance, I still see strong dancing. You know, it doesn't change. Even though that has been a shift, I still see that bodily intellect is very good across borders. Hip hop all the way, you know, to those that are doing ballet, just their artistry and their storytelling and their movement is just, yeah, astonishing. So it's nice.
Yeah. And I mean, what could be more hopeful than seeing young artists who are mm-hmm. really, like you said, at the early stages of their skill and already, you know, showing just levels that are maybe beyond their years a little bit.
It's
wonderful. It's exciting, right? It's energizing. It's encouraging. It's so many things.
Yeah. Cause I'm often like, well, how old is that person? Like I usually have that question just how much their body is able to carry so much information, you know? So yeah.
That's a cool way of putting that. I like that. Okay. We definitely want to talk about some events that are coming up. Okay. There's one that's happening soon, which is going to be September 12th.
Yes.
That's the correct date?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. September that's the new 12th, date. Yeah. And it's at 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m.
Yeah. So getting there at 6, we'll start at 6:30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. And this is happening at the Norton Museum.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful venue for this to happen at.
It is.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's going to be pieces that move throughout the space. How does this work?
Yeah. So open spaces is really unique in the sense that we are performing in various open spaces of the museum. It's usually a standalone event, but this year we'll be having it as a part of Art After Dark.
Okay.
So it'll be in the evening, which is nice. Yeah. It's a nice twist.
And it's on great
Saturday
programming.
The day. Yeah. And so what'll happen is that the audience is split into threes or fours, depending on how large the group is. And in their particular group, a docent is taking them into different open spaces. And when they enter that space, they'll see two dance works performed. So, so essentially those dancers are performing 3 to 4 times.
Wow.
So you even get to see the difference in their delivery and quality from the first time to the third or the fourth time. And then the audience comes back together at the end and then they have a Q&A with the choreographers.
Okay.
So it's a really nice event.
And now is there any kind of communication with the area of the gallery or the museum that they're in? Like, is there any kind of influence in the movement from the artwork mm-hmm. that's surrounding them?
Yes. Good. So, they have to be inspired by a work of art within the museum.
Okay.
Yep. So there's a lovely jewelry exhibition happening
yes,
right now.
I've seen it. It's seen really it. Cool.
Okay. All right. So they have to now pick one of those pieces to be inspired by.
Cool.
Usually we let them pick anything at the museum. But this year we had a really good idea that Glenn Tomlinson brought up about how about they just do one specific exhibition. And so we chose that one. So they'll use that as inspiration. They all have different ones that they've picked.
There's a lot of kinetic work in that mm-hmm. exhibition too. So that'll be really interesting to see where that comes
exactly,
in.
Exactly, where they go and how they use that to be inspired. And so they have to have their works timed at 5 minutes.
Okay.
So they have that challenge.
Yeah.
They have the challenge of the space. So it is site specific in that way. They have different spaces that they normally wouldn't perform in. Mm-hmm. This year they'll be doing like an outside grass area in the lawn, interior lawn area that overlooks the restaurant.
Yeah.
They'll be doing Hayman Plaza, which is right where the large sculpture is. And then they'll do inside. We'll use a stiller as our beginning space. And then they'll use Corman, which is a carpeted area. So having to change and manipulate and consider movement, thinking about that, but then also being inspired by the work is a nice challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, it's like giving a painter multiple substrates to suddenly paint on. I mean, it really changes things a lot.
It does.
So that's fascinating.
Excited.
Yes, that's very exciting. I definitely don't want to miss that. So I'm assuming people can probably find out more about that if they need a reminder of the details on the website too,
so or on social media. Org, and then once the Norton goes live with their link, it'll link to them to be able to register.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only a few more questions left, even though I could continue having this conversation long time.
It's fine.
Thank you for being such a, you know, gracious guest and offering your time and insight. It's been wonderful. I know that there's a 5-year plan in place for Natural Movers, right? Can you give us just a little bit of insight about what the kind of trajectory that you and the board are seeing in the next 5 years?
Yeah. So for Natural Movers, it's really creating a space for more trainer and intensive spaces to be able to exist, where we're allowing spaces for artists and dancers to be able to flourish in their crafting, as well as community activations to allow all folks, whether they are students, or children K through 12, or even adults that are continuous learners, to be able to have a space through our community outdoor programming. And so those are like really the buckets. And so this way of cultivating artistry and then this way of keeping the community engaged and moving are those spaces. And so in 5 years, we want to continue to allow that to happen. And of course, all those prongs are on the website, but that's kind of like an overarching understanding of it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Maybe a little bit of advice to leave somebody with, whether that may be a student or somebody looking to create a nonprofit that, you know, that isn't sure that that's, you know, the right direction, or somebody, you know, any advice that you'd want to leave for somebody who's listening.
On what to do if they want to create something.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the advice that I would hope that somebody would give me is to salah, which is to pause and reflect, and to allow peace to be still was the best advice I think I was given when I just couldn't sit still. I had to figure out what was happening next and how to make it happen. And in doing both of those things, you'll know what space you need to go into in order to pause and reflect. You'll know what you need to do, you know, to salah. You'll know what you need to do in order to be still, and what allows you to be still. And in that, I think you'll find how you should create, what you should create, and when you should create it.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Good reminders, I think, that we often need continuously sometimes of just like, hey, take that moment to pause.
Yeah.
Don't rush through it.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. So lastly, I just want to make sure that people can continue to connect and find more ways to connect with Natural Movers. So what are the best ways that they can do that? Whether that's website, social media.
Yes. So naturalmovers.org.
Okay.
If you want to visit us on our website, if you subscribe, you'll get our newsletter.
I subscribed. I want to know what's going on.
Yes. Yes. So we send those out quarterly. So you'll be able to see what's happening next. And then when we get closer, we send reminders. Definitely, we have a good Instagram presence. So that's at Natural Movers. Becoming a follower of us will allow you to see what's happening as it gets closer. And so those are some major ways.
Great.
And we try to keep things going. Of course, if you are a person that is, you know, for the post and things that are digital media, then we definitely use press releases to be able to release information as happening as well. So
that's great. Yeah. Good. Okay. Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to attend the September event. Awesome. I'm sure lots of people will be there. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, we're excited.
And future ones. I know there's ones forecast for next year already.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what more comes out from Natural Movers. All right. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you, of course, to our listeners. We appreciate you tuning in, checking out. I hope you learned something. I hope you got inspired. Yeah. And, you know, definitely come back again, sit through some other episodes. We've got some great guests on here. And of course, as always, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. We appreciate everything that you do for us and for the community here. And I will see you next time on the Artie Brock Podcast.